There has been a change in your bulletin. Actually, there'll be two, but there's been a change in your bulletin, and that is that the sermon, the message this morning that was to be preached entitled Confusion and Grief Are Transformed into Assurance and Joy will not be preached today. Pastor Brian, as you probably already have been told, is not well, and so this message this morning is the law of the spirit of life, and the text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Romans is an interesting book. It's not one of your shallow books in the Bible, as if there were any. It's not one that I would encourage a brand new believer to dive into, because it seems to be one of the deeper books. I remember experience I had with a gentleman. He became a Christian. He had been an alcoholic for years, and I had the opportunity to lead him in becoming a child of God, and he became a Christian. And everybody always says, when people give their life to the Lord, read the book of John. It's the first thing you want to read, the book of John. Well, I was young and rebellious in my own way, I guess. And so I decided to do something different. I told this guy, I said, read the book of Romans, and I'll be back next week, and we'll talk about it. And so I came back next week, and he didn't have the cleanest mouth. And he said, what the, and you can use your imagination, did you want me to read that for? I didn't understand a word in it. Well, Romans is kind of like that. But I hope today, by the time you leave, you will get a little grasp of what Romans chapter 8 is referring to. Would you stand with me as we read the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, and maybe a little beyond. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to become a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. We do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those are controlled by the sinful nature that cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if you would, as we read on in that we just read, note the Trinitarian nature of this passage, the triune God that is being represented. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, and your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. We're going to read the verse 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed that we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. The Lord will bless his word as we've read it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for the wonderful life that we see through the Spirit of Christ. We thank you for the Savior who came to give his life that we might have eternal life, and to the Father who sent the Son to be our Savior. We ask, Lord, that you bless this word this morning. May it come forth, Lord, as truth into our lives, into our hearts, we pray. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as often is the case, I have a thought that I want you to remember throughout this sermon, and that is this: we are subject to the law of the Spirit of life. Let me say it again so you can get that. We are subject to the law of the Spirit of life. I had prepared my sermon and was done with it by last night, and then I decided to go on the internet and look and see, make sure I hadn't preached on this text before. It would have been a little too late since I'd already worked on it. But I thought I'd look through it. And so I looked on the internet and I found that Pastor Brian has preached twice. One was in 2014, and I can't read my own writing, but I believe it was this month, that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And one was 8:17, the same title, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. Well, this message, as I found out, goes right along with what Pastor Brian preached in Jesus promising the Holy Spirit to us. It is the law of the Spirit of life. Now, we hear that word law, and we want to run the other direction, but don't do that, because laws are important. We have traffic laws, we have speed laws, we have stoplight laws and stop sign laws and laws that govern our behavior in public and the things we can do and we can't do. So they're not in and of themselves a bad thing. We know that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law, and so we're not bound by the law of the Old Testament. But what we're talking about today is the law of the Spirit of life. And we need to go past the initial work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of salvation in our life. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God. But we need to go beyond that and keep moving forward in Christ and realize there is a law of the life of the Spirit, and we are subject to that law. I tell you, it beats being subject to that which now worketh in the children of disobedience in Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Being subject to the law of Christ implies three characteristics that I want to share with you. There's implications of three characteristics. The first characteristic is that we do not live our lives according to the sinful nature. Please get that today. We do not live our lives according to the sinful nature. In chapter 8 of Romans, the passage we just read, verses 2 through 4, I remind you of them again. Verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And he condemned sin in the sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, my assumption when I come to church on Sunday morning to preach is that I'm probably talking to people who are mostly Christians, that mostly know the Lord. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we live our lives according to a new law. Not the old law of bondage, not the old law of the sinful nature or of the flesh, but we live our lives according to the law of the Spirit of God. We do not live according to the sinful nature. What are the righteous requirements that God had? We're still subject to the sinful nature. Please don't get me wrong. As long as we are alive, we still see the works of the sinful nature around us. We still see people that, and I know this firsthand, that suffer from cancer and other terrible diseases. We still see Christians involved in accidents. We still see all of the things that seemed to plague us before. We're still subject to them. And so they're still around us. But according to what I read today, we're not subject to the law of the sinful nature. We are subject to the law of the Spirit of life. And I think my wife was a good testimony to that. Because up until the moment that she took her last breath, her heart was praising the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not subject to the law of sin and death, but she was subject to the spirit of life in Christ. What are the righteous requirements? Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Here's what it says. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. I'm not preaching on that today. Except the continuing debt to love one another. That I'm preaching on. You want to know what the spirit of life is all about? It's the debt to love one another. The Bible talks about we bite and we devour one another. And what a tragedy that is. Because we have a debt, and that debt is to love each other. For whoever loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. And by the way, there are people that say that we're not under the Old Testament law. These are the Ten Commandments. And if you want to argue with me, I would say that do not commit adultery still applies. And do not commit murder still applies today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be. But they are summed up, it says, in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit adultery, you're not going to murder, you're not going to steal. You're not going to do any of those things because you love them. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And we have a fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. If you're writing it down, Jeremiah 31, 33. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God. I like that. I will be their God. Would you say that with me? I will be their God. That's what the Lord your God says of his children. I will be their God. I like that. And they will be my people. We are the people of God. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. And then in Galatians chapter 5, we read very similar to Jeremiah, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. And by the way, if any of these hit you, they are obvious. They are not of God. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they are not living under the law of the Spirit of life. So these are the things that result in death spiritually. The end result of living that way, Revelation 22, then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts and sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. There is a result of the way of not living according to the law of the Spirit. And that's spiritual death. But there is a result of living according to the law of the Spirit, and that's spiritual and eternal life that God offers to us. Excuse me. Second characteristic of those following the law of the Spirit is our minds are set on what the Spirit desires. In Romans chapter 8, we read it, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That's you and I today. I hope that we have our minds set on what the Spirit desires. We used to sing a song in a church, the churches I pastored, and it goes like this. You may have heard it. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. And then the chorus says, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment that I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me, that is the person who is subject to the law of the Spirit of life. Excuse me. Notice the phrase. There's a phrase that is used in the verse we read. Let me read it again. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that sinful nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Did you catch the similar phrase there? Mind set. Their minds set. You live according to the sinful nature, your mind is set on what that nature desires. You live according to the Spirit, your mind is set on what the Spirit desires. And so, I guess you could say there's a little test there for us today. Where is our mindset? I hope it's on what the Spirit desires. It's not enough to have our mind set and be pig-headed. You can quote that. That's a deep theological term. You know, here I stand and I'm not moving. Well, tell you what, the Christian life is all about moving forward in Jesus Christ. Amen. Moving towards that goal of eternal life. Our minds are to be set in the right direction. Too many people are carnally minded. Please get what I'm saying now. Our minds are to be set in the right direction, and that direction is toward God. Too many people are carnally minded. Their minds set on the things of the world. Their minds set on things that are contrary to Jesus Christ. But the law of the Spirit, that's what we're dealing with today. The law of the Spirit, may that be your mindset this day. Romans 8:6 tells us this. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look it, we're talking about serious stuff here today. This is not just kid play here. To be carnally minded is death. It's death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Reminds me of the Old Testament. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. The obvious question, is your mind set on what the Spirit desires or what the carnal man desires? Galatians 5. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law. If you're trying to live half in the Spirit and half in the carnal nature, your life is like this. It's constantly banging against each other and there's no direction for your life. But if your life is directed by the Spirit, you're moving on a steady path towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit says, pray. The carnal mind says, you don't have time. You're too busy. The Spirit says, forgive. The carnal mind says, you have a right to be mad. The Spirit says, worship. Read your Bible, pray. The carnal mind says, you have way too much to do. You have way too much to do. So are we spiritually minded or are we carnally minded today? Because we are subject to the law of the Spirit of life, that's what this is all about. It's all about the Spirit of life living within us and being subject to it. The third characteristic of those following the law of the Spirit of life is that we get this, because this is the best part of this message, if I do say so. The third characteristic of following the law of the Spirit of life is we belong to Christ. And I didn't make that up. I didn't write that. That's the Word of God. We belong to Christ. You, however, Romans 8, verse 9, we read it. You, however, are controlled not. Underline that, not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if you have Christ in you, your body is dead because of sin, and your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies through his Spirit. He who lives in you, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, If I could, I'd be saying this to you. Well, I think I will. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Going back a little bit in the book of Romans, Romans 6:16, it says, Know ye not that to him whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are, whether unto sin, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? The issue here is control and possession, not demon possession, but Holy Spirit possession. Control and possession. Who is controlling your life and who possesses your life? I trust with me you'd say it's the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. There's a song, and we're going to sing this. I lost the page number, so you'll have to help us when we get to it. But there's a song, it says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. You, however, are controlled by the Spirit of Christ. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's the possession. You are possessed by the Spirit of Christ if you know the Lord. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Let me say it again. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's serious business. I would say try the Lord today. If you don't know Jesus, try the Lord. Because there's nothing like having him possess us, body, soul, and spirit. Try Jesus. He never fails or evil. His love prevails in sunshine and stormy gale. Try Jesus. He never fails. You and I today, Christians, we are subject to the law of the Spirit of life. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, the depths of your word never ceases to amaze me, and yet it speaks to the youngest Christian, Lord. Because, Lord, you want to possess us with your Holy Spirit. You want us to be totally immersed in the Spirit of God. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless each person that has been under the sound of my words today. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak to us, we pray. And, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to substitute for that last song, if we might do that. We're not singing hymn number 219, but rather we are singing
446.
I'd rather have Jesus.
Tim, before we sing, could we just acknowledge the beautiful quilts that are on the pews here today?
Thank you so much.
And thank you to the ladies who tirelessly work to make those for those in need. Thank you.